Well, good morning, and thank you so much for tuning into our live stream. And we're in this exciting season as a church, as we're in our temporary location. And I just want to encourage you, if you're watching for the first time with us, welcome. We're so glad you're tuning in. And we are now back to a normal service rhythm. So 9:30 and 11 o'clock at Willow Creek on Durkee Road. You'll find us here every Sunday. And if we haven't had a chance to meet, I would love to connect with you. It's been such a fun time with our summer schedule, but I'm looking forward to getting back in the rhythm. And today, we're going to be starting a new sermon series called Unstuck. And I'm excited about this series because one of the things that I hate the most is feeling stuck. And I bet you do too. I think we all despise that sense of, man, I can't seem to get traction. I can't seem to figure out what I need to do. Things just aren't changing and moving. And it's one of those really frustrating experiences in life. And we're going to talk about it. And also, most importantly, how God can meet us in that and help us through that. But just before we get into the message, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who gets us unstuck. That, Father, when we are dead in our trespasses and sins, you make us alive in Christ. That, Father, when we find ourselves in those miry bogs and those places we can't get out of, Lord, you move us onto solid rock. And, Lord, you give us a new song, a song of praise. Help us, Father, now to learn to trust in you, to lean on you, and to seek you out in these times. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, my son Teddy is about a year and a half, and he does this funny thing when he is in the car seat or the stroller, and he's all locked in there, and we kind of get to where we're going, and then I go to the door. He'll just say this. He'll say, stuck, 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 and he'll just kind of keep saying that until you undo the harness and unclip it and get him out there. It's just kind of really, really funny, but like I was saying, we all... Don't like that feeling of being stuck. In fact, I would say one of my greatest fears in life would to be literally stuck in some kind of cave where I can't move. I've seen these crazy videos on YouTube of people who, for fun, go through these caves that are really, really narrow, and they wiggle their way through it. I've heard stories about people getting stuck, and that is the most terrifying thing to me. I don't like it. But I also don't like when I am stuck in life and when I'm struggling and when I can't seem to move forward. And I think there's kind of three ways that we tend to experience stuckness. The first is that we're in situations or we're in seasons of life where we just genuinely don't know what to do. We're like, I'm stuck because I don't know what to do. Maybe I don't know what decision to make. I don't know the next right step. And so because we don't know what to do, we don't do anything, and we continue in the place that we're in. Sometimes stuckness looks like this. We know what to do, but we don't know how to make it happen. Okay, I know the thing I need to do, but how to actually get from here to there, I don't have figured out, and so we feel stuck. Or the third way we can feel stuck is that we know what we need to do, we know how to get there, but we're facing a lot more obstacles to doing it than we thought. And so we're like, I know where I need to go, I even know the path, but man, this is really hard. Or I don't know how to get over this mountain or this challenge. And so we know where we need to go, we know what we need to do, but there's a lot of obstacles in the way, and all these experiences are frustrating. But the good news today is that this has been something that many of the great heroes of our faith have experienced. And that in some ways this is not an abnormal experience, but it is part of a life that is seeking after God. In fact, the psalmist in Psalm 69, he writes these words. He's saying to God, rescue me from the mud. Don't let me sink any deeper. Save me from those who hate me and pull me from these deep waters. Now, this is the great ancient king David writing. And basically what he's saying to God, he's saying, God, help me, I'm stuck. And so I just want to encourage you with that because we all have been there. We all will be there at times, and we might be there today. But you know, being stuck can also mean a couple other things in our life. Number one, sometimes we're stuck because we are doing things that are hard and that are important. And because they're hard and they're important, they're not easy, and they're not easy to navigate. Number two, sometimes it shows us that our stuckness is really, well, and I would say it always is, it's an opportunity to reach out to God and to experience his help and his goodness in a deeper way in our lives. And today I want to talk about and unpack a little bit about how we can do this. So today, if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, this resonates with me, I feel a bit stuck, then I want you to know this is an opportunity to connect to God in a deeper way. And what we're going to look at today is the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 15. And the Apostle Paul says these words to us. He says, look carefully then how you walk. Now, this phrase, look carefully, it's actually a command. And it's in the imperative tense, which means you must look carefully. There's a little more intensity to it. So look carefully then how you walk. And he doesn't mean how you actually walk physically, but walk here is a metaphor for how we live our lives. So the call here is to look carefully at how you live your life. In other words, observe and reflect and think about how you live your life. He says this, not as unwise, but as wise. So look at your life and look carefully and discern, where am I living in a wise way and where am I living in an unwise way? That's what Paul is saying to us. And he says, making the best use of the time. This is a really interesting phrase that I'll explain in a little bit, but making the best use of the time because the days are evil. In other words, he says, look, there's going to be a lot of opportunity to get stuck, a lot of opportunity to get off the path. So make sure you're using your time and you're living your life in the best possible way and avoiding the things that will move you in the wrong direction. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so that understand word is also in the imperative. It's a command as well. So the two commands in this passage are to look and to understand, to see and to gain insight. And so if we put this together today, I think the idea that I want to really leave you with is that when we are stuck, we need new insight. We need God to help us to see our lives differently, and specifically to see where we might be being unwise and learn how to be wise. And we need a new understanding from God about what his will is, and not just to understand it, but to embrace it. Now, let's unpack this in a little more detail here. The first thing I want you to see is that Paul says the days are evil. Now, at first, that might sound like a really pessimistic thing to say, like, Paul, what? That's a kind of a ugly thought there, that the days are evil. But here's what Paul is showing us, something that I think we all know and have experienced in life, that it's a lot easier to get stuck in life than it is to get unstuck. In other words, the days are evil. Here's what it means. That you're not going to have to work very hard to create bad habits. You're not going to have to work very hard to neglect the most important relationships in your life. You're not going to have to work very hard to allow your health to deteriorate. What Paul is showing us when he says the days are evil is that there's a natural gravity to life, And the gravity doesn't take us to a good place. It takes us to a bad place. And just again, think about this for a second. Like, it's not hard to have misaligned priorities in your life. How many times have we said to ourselves, man, I really should be doing this right now, but instead, I'm doing this. I know I've said that to myself many times just this week. And what that shows is that our priorities are misaligned. We're like, I know this is what I should be doing, but it's just easier to do this. And Paul's saying that's because the days are evil, that the gravity always takes us away from what is wise, what is good, and what is best for us. It's easier to drift from God than to grow in our relationship with him. Today, maybe you're watching this and you feel that you've drifted from God. And you're like, I didn't try to. That wasn't what I was hoping for. It just kind of happened. Because that's what Paul's saying, that the days are evil. The gravity will just pull us in that direction. To grow in our relationship with God, we've got to fight against that gravity. And we have to do things, and we have to make plans and efforts and intentions. So Paul is showing us, he's saying, hey, look, I just want you to see, this is how life works. It's easier to create regret than it is to create moments in life that you truly appreciate and are proud of. Just easier to do that. It's easier to build unhealthy habits than it is to build healthy habits. It's easier to overspend than it is to save money. Amen? It's easier to just, you know, buy without thinking about it and not bring discipline to it than it is to save and invest and build a better future for ourselves. It's easier to be unwise than it is to be wise. So what Paul is saying, he's saying that's the gravity, that's the pull that we all face. That life, if we just do nothing, the gravity is going to pull us down. It's not going to pull us up. But where God's purpose is and where a more meaningful life is and where a life is that honors God is up, not down, and gravity of life is always going to pull us down. It's always going to lean towards pulling us into a place where we feel stuck. So here's what Paul says. So he says, so first, we have to look carefully at our lives through what I would say is prayer, reflection, and observation. So when I'm stuck, what's the first thing to do? Well, first, just recognize and hear the words that Paul are saying. That, look, life's going to pull us to being stuck. So don't be too surprised and don't panic. Number two, here's what you do. You use it as an opportunity to look carefully at your life, to think about it, and to invite God into that thinking, and to pray, and to observe, and to reflect, and to discern. And that first begins with just kind of asking God and saying, Lord, help me to look at my life and help me to see where I am being wise and where I am being unwise. Lord, give me eyes to see, because here's one of the things that the scriptures show us again and again, that wisdom comes from God. And so wisdom begins with acknowledging that, with reverencing God for that, and with inviting him into our lives. So if we are going to look at our lives carefully and discern where we're being wise and unwise, we need God's help and God's wisdom. And that's where we begin. Lord, help me to see. Help me to see what I don't see. Because the thing about wisdom is wisdom doesn't only deal with things that are right and wrong, but things that are better and worse. So you could have things in your life that they're not necessarily wrong, but they're not wise. We can have patterns and habits and mindsets and actions in our life where they're not just black and white in the sense that this is just clearly wrong, but it might be unwise. And when we build a life that is unwise, it's a life that is less fruitful, less effective, less joyful. It's a life that is going to be stuck all the time. And so we need God's help. And then here's the second thing I'd encourage, is that we need to reflect and look for the fruits of wisdom and foolishness in our life. Wisdom will produce a certain type of thing in your life, and foolishness will produce a certain type of thing in your life. And here's just kind of a short list that you could use to look at your life and to see that when we are living in wise ways, then there will be a sense of internal peace in our life. When we're living in a foolish way, there will be chaos in us and all around us. So when you look at your life, where do you see peace and where do you see chaos? And it will help you to see where I am living wisely and where I am living foolishly. Here's the second thing to look for. Where are there relationships that are healthy and life-giving? That's the fruit of wisdom. The fruit of chaos is relationship messes, relational hurt. And when you look at your life, and this can be hard to do and very humbling to do, but when you look at your life, do you see a lot of relationships that are healthy and good, or do you see a wake behind you of broken friendships, of broken relationships, of strained relationships? Like when we just see this pattern in our life, that is an indication that we're not living with the wisdom of God, and we need to look and see what's wrong. Where am I missing it? Here's another thing that wisdom will give us. It will give us a freer future and more opportunity. Do you feel a sense that you have more freedom, more options, more margin, more health in your life? Then that is evidence of wisdom. On the other hand, if you see limited future, that the walls kind of keep closing in, you have less options and less opportunity, then that's the fruit of foolishness. And is our life becoming more joyful or more sorrowful? Not to mean that there aren't moments of both, there's always going to be that, but in general, are we experiencing a deeper joy that's from God, from a life that is wise and connected to Him? Or is just it getting heavier and heavier and more sorrowful? Then that can be the fruit of foolishness. So my point in sharing this with you is to say, when you look at your life, what fruit do you see? When you look at the different categories of your life, your relationships, your finances, your health, your spiritual life, your friendships, do you see the fruits of wisdom or the fruits of foolishness? As Paul says, first, we have to see what's going on. And one of the big challenges, I think, to these verses is to actually just take the time and the opportunity to do this. See, a lot of times we are stuck because we have, without thinking about it and thinking through it, we have chosen foolish approaches to life. And foolish approaches to life will always keep us stuck. Wisdom is when we invite God and we discern and we allow Him to direct us towards the future that He has, and that will create a sense of not just unstuckness, but a sense of flourishing. There's a great book called Essentialism by Greg McKeown, and he says when you're trying to think about these things in your life, he says here's just like five helpful things to do to kind of just make all this real practical. He says, number one, you need to allow yourself space to think. And I think that might honestly be the most important point for us. Do you ever think about your life? Where it's going? What's happening, why it's happening this way, is it wise or unwise? Now, I think that we get so busy living in our lives that we're never able to step back and to think about the bigger picture. And that's what Paul is calling us to do. Look carefully. Like this word has a sense of like with great detail. You know, look under the hood, kick the tires, check the gauges, look where the fluid's at. You want to look at all of it very carefully and discern what's actually happening there. So we need to allow space to think. And I know we're all busy. And I know we all got a million things going on, but here's what I believe. If we create that time to think, that will save us tons of time in the future. When you create space and margin to think about where your life is going, what's happening, and you do it with God's help, that is going to save you countless numbers of hours in the future. So you might not feel like you have time to do it, but I'm telling you, you have time to do it, and you must make time to do it because it's so important. Here's the second thing he says, Greg McCown. He says, so allow space to think, take time to observe. I think those go together. Then third, he says, get enough sleep. Thought that's good. We always think better when we have a little bit more sleep. Four, he says, make time to play. Don't make this such a pressurized experience. We're just kind of looking and you're getting so wound up and so frustrated with yourself, but give yourself time to breathe and relax and have fun. And then he says, discern your experience through a selective criteria, which Paul gives that to us. Is this wise or unwise? Where is my life in accordance with God's wisdom? Where is it not? And then Paul says, so we must think about it. And then he says, we must make the most of our time. Now, this word, this phrase, make the most of our time, it's actually this interesting word that is literally means to buy back, to redeem, to buy from the marketplace. And this word here is a word that gets translated as ransom. As God ransoms us, he buys us back, he redeems us. So it's a very powerful word. But Paul says we can buy back our time and make the most of it. And I think that image is really powerful to me because wouldn't it be great to be able to buy back a day or a week or a month or a year of your life? Like, wouldn't it be like, how much would you pay to be like, you know what? I'm getting back 2010. Whatever, I don't care what the price tag is, I'm getting that back and I'm reliving that and I'm doing something different than I did. Like, that would be incredible, wouldn't it? And I bet all of us, we would pay crazy amounts of money to buy back certain times in our life. Now, here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, in a sense, we can actually do that. That is, as we think, look carefully at our lives, and we invite God's help, and we trust in him, that as we go in the future, it's actually like we are buying back time that we feel like we've lost. And I don't know about you, but I find that really, really encouraging. If you're at some point in your life and you're like, man, I'm so disappointed because I've wasted so much time, or I'm at this age in my life, or I'm at this stage in my life, and I thought I'd be further, I thought it would look different, I thought it would be better, and you're just riddled with the weight of all that, then I want you to take Paul's words to heart right here. You can buy back some of that time. If you invite God's help and God's direction and God's wisdom, you can make more out of the time that you have. And I think that is an incredible promise. And so then Paul says, make the most of the time and understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the second big command. So look and reflect and observe and see and notice things, but then understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, when I think about that, I think about this time when I first started out in ministry. I was doing a young adult ministry here at Christ Church. This was a long time ago. I know I'm not a young adult anymore, but I was at one point, and I was leading, you know, college age, and I was in college, and it was a really fun and meaningful and growing experience. But when we started it, we were meeting in a temporary location. It was actually in Brunswick at Skyview Lodge, and Skyview Lodge is right next to Mapleside. If you know Mapleside, just that beautiful hillside. And so Skyview Lodge is on like this really big hill. And we had this really old, like, Econoline van that we would use to pull our equipment for setup and takedown. And this van wasn't, you know, it had seen some years. It had a lot of wear and tear to it. And we would use that. We would pull up this hill at the side entrance and we would unload. Well, one of the days that we were doing this, it was winter, it was snowing, it was icy, and we tried to pull the van around to get it up the hill to unload, and as you would expect, it got stuck. And it was too icy, it couldn't get up there, and we were trying everything we knew, everything we could think of to try to get it unstuck because we had to get it up the hill, we couldn't leave it here, and we were just kind of out of options. So finally, I was like, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to call my dad and see if he can help. And I called my dad and I told him what was going on. And he came over and he had some, I can't remember exactly what it was, but some like big truck with great traction. And he's trying to help us out. And eventually he was just like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull around behind this thing. And you guys start driving and I'm going to just see if we can push this up the hill. Now, I realize this is probably not the safest plan. This probably violated some laws or something like that. But, you know, when you're desperate, amen? And when you're trying to figure it out, sometimes you'll do whatever it takes. And so we tried that plan, and it worked. And there was no crashes, no accidents. Everyone was safe. The equipment was fine. And we made it out of there. But it was one of those moments where we could not figure it out by ourselves. We needed help that was beyond us. And here's what I know the will of the Lord is for you and me today, is that we know we can't do this life by ourselves. That we will always be stuck without God's presence, without God's love, and without God's leadership. And some of you maybe are watching today and you've never really invited God into your life. You've never really just said, Lord, I can't do this. I am stuck in my trespasses and sins. I am stuck in the most real way and I can't get out unless, Lord, you come to me and you save me and you rescue me and you forgive me and you bring me out of this place. And you know what the will of the Lord for some of us is? Is that today we would have that commitment to God in our heart. And we would say, Lord, I can't do this. I need you. Come and rescue me. I'm not getting up this hill without you. And so for some of you today, I want you to understand that. And I want you to commit to Jesus Christ in your heart. Commit to him as the Lord and Savior of your life and say, Lord, my life will always be stuck without you. And invite his saving presence into your life. For some of us, we've done that in our life, but we just find ourselves in maybe a unique season of stuckness. And here's what I believe the will of the Lord for you is today, is that even in this season of being stuck, you would trust in him. You would say, yes, I feel stuck. Yes, I'm struggling. Yes, I'm frustrated. But one thing I will continue to do is I will trust in God. I will not lose my grip on him. I will invite him into every part of this journey. I will look to his help. I will expect it. I will call out for it. And I will not let anything shake my faith in this struggle. Because sometimes what God wants to do in our stuckness is he wants to deepen the roots of faith in our life. He wants to give us a faith that is deeper, that is richer, that is more resilient, that is more trusting, and that is more glorifying to his name. And so for some of us, you know what the will of the Lord is that you go through this season of stuckness with faith. You go through it not being consumed by fear, but being consumed by a deep trust in who God is and that he will help you in the right way at the right time and that he is fully trustworthy. Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, that we could just trust in you in the different ways we need to today. For some of us, Lord, I pray we could trust in you for the first time with a heart of faith. It says, I can't figure out this life. I can't do this life. There is no hope for me apart from Jesus Christ. And we would trust in your death, in your resurrection, in your leadership. For others of us, Lord, who we've made that commitment of faith, Lord, help us to continue to grow our faith and to deepen our roots of faith and to be people that no matter what our circumstances look like or feel like, our hearts are fixed and trusting in you. Help us, Lord, to go through this season that way and to experience your saving hand, your loving hand, your guiding hand, and to have a deeper heart of faith and love for you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.